Bucky Bacall with the Backyard Chicken Broadcast. Lately, I've been thinking about some of my early broadcasts, where I've crowed over hot issues that never exactly got resolved, but just sort of faded into the background. One of the most serious of those is the National Animal Identification System, or NAIS, a United States Department of Agriculture plan to tag or microchip animals and register them in a national database. The goal of NAIS is that any animal or group of animals can be electronically located and tracked back to a 48-hour period. I'm completely serious. This program has gotten quite a bit of attention in agriculture, civil rights, and even animal welfare circles, but I still run into many people who have no idea it exists. The idea was part of the long-range plan for factory farming trade groups like the National Institute for Animal Agriculture since the 1980s. The program, as we now know it, was introduced between 2002 and 2004, supposedly out of concern over infectious livestock diseases such as mad cow. The program was initiated with cattle and swine herds. Chickens got moved way up on the list when virulent avian flu started to emerge on huge factory farms. The USDA's excuse is that the system is designed to track all animals that will benefit from rapid tracebacks in the event of a disease concern. That's a quote. Which could theoretically include every species on the planet. I wonder if it was a political opportunity to target chickens under the avian flu rationale in order to preempt the grassroots threat to corporate agriculture that the growing number of backyard and small chickeners represent. The program has been more or less voluntary, and supporters of the program have been registering and implanting animals, which has helped the USDA to test the feasibility of their nefarious agenda. The plan was to transition to a mandatory program by 2008, which obviously hasn't been achieved, but that doesn't mean they've given up. Now, why would any cattleman or hog farmer voluntarily go to all this trouble? Because some large-scale factory farms support the program. Having a program like this helps to ensure foreign countries will import their animals even when there are disease scares. Or at least that's their hope. It's also a desperate attempt to deal with a disease problem caused by their own style of factory farming. We backyard birders could leave them to their folly, except the scope of NAIS is not limited to agribusiness. The idea is to tag and register all members of any species included in the program, which means very small farms, homesteaders raising animals like goats, sheep, or chicken as part of a subsistence lifestyle, and even hobbyists, like me, with a couple of pet chickens. Why should we object? Aside from important principles like freedom and privacy, smaller operations will not be able to absorb the cost of mandatory NAIS without industrial agriculture's economies of scale and access to government subsidies and tax breaks. How convenient is it that if a mandatory NAIS runs thousands of little operations out of business, the food monopolists gain guaranteed global dependence? It's likely that if the NAIS plan eventually prevails, the USDA could someday come and confiscate your livestock or pets without a warrant, due process, or a legal hearing, and destroy or redistribute your animals without compensation to you. Resisting could get you in prison. The irony of this is that NAIS probably won't stop the spread of disease among domesticated animals, or the problem of meat contamination. 48-hour trackback is 48 hours after the problem is detected. That could be weeks or even months after the problem actually occurred. Meat sold in stores and restaurants is already USDA inspected at slaughter and processing. Yet the truth about the vast majority of meat consumed in this country is that the USDA can't keep up with the disease rate of factory farmed animals. And that is part of why eating corporate meat, or even veggies, is so risky. NAIS does nothing to stop the spread of BSE, mad cow disease, since it is most likely caused by the practice, banned but not enforced, of grinding up dead cows and other animals and feeding them to cows headed for market. NAIS does not help with avian flu, H5N1 virus, because it does not prevent the overcrowding and lack of genetic diversity, which makes factory chicken operations so vulnerable to viruses. To further the irony, a successful NAIS could eliminate the best solution to animal disease there is by wiping out small community farming and personal subsistence farming. A better answer is for consumers to buy their meat from local farmers who raise their livestock on sufficient amounts of land without chemicals that weaken resistance and with more genetic diversity within herds or flocks. It seems clear to me that NAIS is not about effective solutions and protecting public health, but about finding opportunities for corporate capitalism and their government henchmen to suppress private initiative. As with a lot of intrusive government programs, like the Patriot Act, or toxin applications for milfoil and West Nile virus, the programs often wait in the wings, and then are suddenly implemented with little or no comment period when some supposed emergency appears as justification. If you'd like to learn how this model has been used repeatedly, I suggest reading Naomi Klein's book, Disaster Capitalism. I do have some optimism, because it may not even be feasible for the government to track as many backyard chickeners and small farmers that exist, especially as rising oil prices and the recent complications with our economy make self-sufficiency and local governance more attractive and effective for North Americans, and large-scale centralized governance and food production fades into the past. Yet we must never underestimate the threat NAIS poses while it still lurks in the wings of centralized corporate government. More good news is that as the plan has become known and implementation begun in certain states, grassroots opposition has grown. In the summer of 2006, Vermont small farmers and homesteaders managed to convince the Vermont Agency of Agriculture not to participate in the National Animal Identification System. This was a hopeful sign that resistance at the state level could work, and grassroots opposition resulted in legislation in several other states. Kentucky also passed a law in 2008 that states that the agency there shall not deny, revoke, or limit services, licenses, permits, grants, or other benefits or incentives to a person if that person does not participate in the National Animal Identification System. In other words, they can't use disaster relief programs, business licenses, etc., to force people into NAIS. Several other states are well into implementation of NAIS-type programs, including Texas, Colorado, and Michigan. Other states are not clearly NAIS-compliant, but have numerous programs offering small benefits, like the grants, access to government services, etc. that we're talking about above. And they're only available to agriculturalists who agree to having their animals tracked. In other cases, mandatory compliance with NAIS-type programs are implied when small farmers apply for licenses and such. Meanwhile, big industrial agriculture lobbyists have stapled the NAIS plan to talks about country of origin labeling, which is now known as COOL, which they disingenuously claim would only work if there was an NAIS in place. So although NAIS has floundered, its proponents have adapted. As the saying goes, eternal vigilance is the price of liberty. The story goes on. For more information on NAIS, see farmandranchfreedom.org on the World Wide Web. This is Bucky Bacaw. I had a good time. Bucky Bacaw's Backyard Chicken Broadcast is produced by the Sagebrush Variety Show with support from Boise Community Radio and the Green Institute. For more information, visit buckybacaw.org. BUCKYBUCKAW.org.